we're holding on to Zion Amud Aleph, the fourth line. We're in the middle of discussing the various things having to do with what kinds of lavim a person gets malchus for. Now, we know there's a concept called lavam nitzik la'ese, which is where the Torah tells us, don't do this, but if you did this, then do this instead. And a person doesn't get malchus for that. On the other hand, we talked about yesterday, you have something called, Rabbi Yochanan had said that you have something called, lav shekodmei esse, where you have an esse comes before the lav, and we discussed what that means. It comes before. It comes before it in the pasuk, or it comes before it chronologically in terms of that you would be able to fulfill the esse independently of the lav. And we talked about, Rabbi Yochanan had said that a person could get malchus for such a lav, and we were discussing that. You were asking, by the way, Avraham Moshe, what the halacha is as far as the machlokas. We showed him about it. So first of all, you have, like this we talked about in the sugya yesterday, that Rabbi Yochanan had said this, but then there's the possibility that Rabbi Yochanan himself changed his mind, that when they asked him, did you really say this, he said no, because there was a different case involving Onis that seems to violate that rule. And then, okay, we managed to end for Rabbi Yochanan, but still, and then we had Rish Lakish arguing against him, so there is, in fact, a machlokas who's showing him whether, in fact, the halacha is even like that at all, whether, in fact, a lav shekodmei esse would be a different thing than lav hanitik la'ese, and one he would get malchus and one he wouldn't, or would we say that, no, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan, in that regard, the halacha might be like Rish Lakish, and therefore there'd be no malchus for it in the first place anyhow. If you say that no, that the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yochanan's rule, then within that you're going to have the different opinions of Rishonim about what the definition of lav shekodmei esse is, based on, as we talked about yesterday, Rashi versus the Ritva. Ultimately, as usual with Machlokas Rishonim, we don't always have a clear resolution, especially something like this, where, practically speaking, we don't have Malchus nowadays anyhow. So the final resolution of it is going to have to wait until Hashiva Shevchenu Kavod Rishona, until the Sanhedrin is reestablished and can decide it, but those are the various possibilities. In any case, in the course of that, then we started talking about also the question of kimoi veloi kimoi or bitloi veloi bitloi. When you have this kind of thing where you have a lav hanitik la'ese, and it becomes impossible afterwards to do the esse, he hasn't yet done the esse, when would we say he's chayv malchus, and when not, does it have to be bitloy veloy bitloy, does it have to be that only if he's mevatel biyadayim, he does something actively to prevent the esse from being able to take place, then we would give him malchus for being over on the lav. So for example, like we talked about yesterday, let's say with the onus in the Motzi Shemra, where he has a mitzvah to marry the woman, in the case of the Motzi Shemra, he has a mitzvah to marry her, and either way, with him or the Motzi Shemra, he has a mitzvah to stay married to her, and then if he divorces her, he's supposed to remarry her, but if he's a Kohen, we said, then he would get Malchus, because having divorced her, he can't remarry her. We're going to find an example as we go through the Gemara today. We're going to see that there can be a case with Yisrael as well, where he's mevatel it, and by making a neder that she can't have hanah from him, and therefore that prevents him from remarrying also, and then he would get malchus for that. So we have do we have davka that? But otherwise, if he wasn't mevatel it biyadayim, then he wouldn't get malchus. Or would we say kimoi veloy kimoi, that it, no, as long as he, just the fact that he hasn't been mekayim the esse is reason enough to give him malchus, even, like this, for example, if we bring him to Beis Din and then say, listen, you divorced this woman, which you weren't supposed to, either remarry her or get malchus, then, we would do that. He would either remarry her on the spot, or he's getting malchus and he wouldn't have the excuse that, no, I could always do that at a later date. So we said there's another machlokas Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish on that, where Rabbi Yochanan had learned bitloy veloy bitloy, and Rish Lakish had learned kimoy veloy kimoy. So we're in the middle of discussing that point. We said yesterday there are Rishonim, the Rif, and many other Rishonim who have a gusa the other way around, actually, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says kimoy veloy kimoy, and Rish Lakish is the one who says bitloy veloy bitloy. In any case, in the course of that, we also started discussing the matter of Hasra Safek. When this case, can you give masra? For example, when he's divorcing her, don't do that because you're going to be chayiv malchus. If we say Rabbi Yochanan had said asra safek is not a valid hasra. Or rather, Rabbi Yechon had said that it is a valid asra. So he would say you can give masra when he divorces her, even though we don't know whether he's actually going to be mevatel at biyadayim, we can give masra now and it's okay. And still he can get malchus if later on he's mevatel at biyadayim by, for example, making that neder. Then we're able to give him malchus based on the original hasra. Whereas Rish Lakish had said that hasra safek is not a valid hasra, and therefore that it has to be that it's a matter of kimoi v'loi kimoi, such that as soon as he is over on the loiseser, right away there's the possibility of chi of malchus if he doesn't right away go and remarry her. So that was the last point we had left off with, was about this point that we said that Rabbi Yochanan holds hasra safek is a valid hasra, and Rish Lakish holds that not. So the Gemara says. And we had said in that connection that you have a case where a person makes a shvua that he's going to eat this bread today and he didn't. Then we said both of them agree he doesn't get malchus, but for different reasons. Rabbi Yochanan says because the lav she'in b'maisa, and Rish Lakish says because it's asura safek. So the Gemara says, taking up now over here, Tzayin Amud Aleph, the fourth line, the Tarvayu al Libid Rabbi Yehuda. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying their respective opinions based on what Rabbi Yehuda says. They're both analyzing something that Rabbi Yehuda says on the subject of when a person gets malchus, and each one applying it in a different way. So D'tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says about leaving over from the Korban Pesach, V'loisei Sidum Emenu Ad Boko, don't leave over from it until the morning, V'anosim Emenu Ad Boko V'gomer, and anything that's left over from it until the morning, then you need to burn it. So why is the Torah phrasing it that way? So the bar cost of litan esach aloyseser, because the pasuk wants to put an esach after the loyseser loy mashein loykin all of divir Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that tells us that you don't get malchus for it. And then in the Braisa, goes on to mention another opinion that the reason for the no malchus is because the lav shein meimaisa. So, Rabbi Yochanan dayak kochi. So, Rabbi Yochanan is medayak as follows from what Rabbi Yehuda says. Taima de boha kosev. Why is the person not getting malchus for leaving over from the meat of the korban is only because the posit comes and puts an eser after the lav, making a lav anitik eser. Ha loy boha kosev, implying that if the posit had not come and done that, loike, then he would get malchus. I hasra safek, because any time they tell him they tell him an hour before chatzos, let's say, don't leave over from it. If you do, you're going to be chayav malchus. It would be hasra safek, because he could say, listen, I still have an hour. Comes closer to the time, you're warning him again and again, I still have time. And then there comes the point where there wouldn't be time to eat all of it and not have anything left. And at that point, it's too late to give masra. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that in principle there could have been so alma hasra safek shmo hasra. So you see that says Rabbi Yochanan that hasra safek would be a valid hasra, and it would have been fine to give him hasra and tell him don't, and tell him even an hour before don't eat from it. You can say yeah, but I still have an hour. That wouldn't wash. So he would get malchus if in the end, during that hour, he doesn't end up eating it. And the only reason he's potter is because since the pasuk makes it a lava nitik la'eser and makes it that he has to burn whatever's left. So that's where Rabbi Yochanan is being medayik from. V'Rish Lakish dayakachi. Meanwhile, Rish Lakish is medayik as follows. Taima de bar kosev. Yeah, because the pasuk says that there's an eser afterwards. Ha loy bar kosev loike. Implying if there hadn't been an eser afterwards, he would get malchus. Alma, lav she'in me'maisa, loikin olav, which tells us, says Rish Lakish, that it's possible to get malchus for a lav she'in me'maisa. And therefore, in the case of where he made the shavua not to eat the bread, then Rish Lakish would have to say, the only reason he doesn't get malchus is because it's hasra safek. And the same way over here, it would be hasra safek. And it would be asra safek, and then it's a lav she'in me'maisa, and therefore there's no malchus. Okay, so the Gemara points out, well, wait a minute, then in that case, it's both. It's both has according to Rabbi Yochanan, then we understand. It's only, Rabbi Yochanan has no problem with Hasra Suffolk. According to him, the only, that would be a fine Hasra. The only reason to pater him, was saying, is because it's a lava nita klasa, and otherwise, in fact, he would have gotten Malkus if the Torah hadn't told us that whatever's left you should burn. But according to, so therefore he can well learn from that Asura Suffolk would be a valid Asura. But according to the Shlokish, it comes out basically that we have both. It's a Lav Shein Mei Maisa, and we see that there's Asura Suffolk. So why is he learning? So that the Gemara asks, V'rib Shimon Lokish Nami, Hal Vada Asura Suffolk, who? Well, you see clearly according to the Shlokish, it's definitely Asura Suffolk. So how can he, So how can he instead derive from that Hasra Suffolk is not a valid Hasra? If according to him, we're saying that the Braisa is implying that the only reason that he's Potter is because the Lav Shein Mei Maisa. The answer is Savalak Idach Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, but Shlokish holds that actually there's another Braisa that brings Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and explains differently where you have a case of Asura Suffolk where it's not a lava nita klasa. So, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are actually not learning their opinions respectively from the same braisa about Noser, but rather Rish Lakish is learning from a different braisa that talks about a different case, a case where a person hits his father, whereas we learned in Sanhedrin, he can be chayiv misa for that if he wounds his father, and he's learning from that about Hasra Suffolk. So there's actually an explanation from the Ma'arik that how do you reconcile the two brises? Therefore, that the first brisa also holds that Rabbi Yehuda would say Chayiv Malkus whether there's Lav Shein Mei Maisa or not, and whether there's Hasra Suffolk or not. So we're saying that you do have the brisa of Noisa, but then when you have the brisa, then the second braisa will illuminate for us what they should be medayik for it. So the Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Now you have like this. We learned in Sanhedrin that if a person hits his father or mother and causes a wound, or if he curses them, then he's chayev misa. So now you can have a case where a person has a suffolk who is his father. One example is where a woman remarried after she was divorced. And as we know, she's supposed to wait 3 months between her divorce and her remarriage, so that if she's pregnant, we know who the father is. But instead, she didn't do that in this case. And now the result is that with the baby, there's a suffolk whether he's a 9 month baby, or whether he was born after a regular 9 month full term pregnancy from the first husband, or whether he was a 7 month baby from the second husband. Whereas we know throughout Chas, a baby can develop on a 7 month track, and he'll be perfectly viable. So now he has a suffolk for his whole life. Which one of the two men is his father? And nowadays, I suppose you could resolve that with DNA testing, whether that would be valid. And halacha is a whole other question. But in any case, back before they had that, his entire life there would be a suffolk. So now a braisa says hikazev v'chaz v'hikazev. So now suppose this boy, young man now, because yes, he has to be old enough for chiyuv misa, but whatever. If he hits one of these men and then hits the other one, so now manafshach he's hit his father, or kilozev v'chaz v'kilozev, he cursed one of them and then cursed the other one. So manafshach he's cursed, whichever one of them that he cursed was his father. Now, what about if they gave him one hasra? So they gave him one hasra. So both of those men are standing here, and he goes and hits, and he's about to hit them, and Edom give him hasra. So now, will that work or not? So then it depends. If he hit both of them with asachas, which would mean the toshkele dibur of the original hasra. In other words, he hits one and then quickly hits the other one. Rashi actually, in a different Gemara where this is brought, gives a different explanation. It means like he took one long stick and hit both of them at the exact same moment. So then, or he cursed both of them with asachas, chayev, then he's going to be chayev misa. Because then one way or the other, one of the ones that he hit or cursed was his father. Rabbi Yehuda says not necessarily. B'vasachas chayev b'zachas apotter. He's only going to be chayev if he did it b'vasachas, but not if he did it one after the other. Because then it would be hasaras safek. When they tell him, don't hit this man because he's your father, each one of them, it's a safek whether he's his father. So to begin with, they're telling him, Asura, don't hit this one or that one, because one of them is your father, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if he hits one of them and then hits the other one, even though it's potosid dibur, then he would be potter, because Asura suffered. Well then, Rish Lakish holds that Rish Lakish learns from that braisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Asura suffered is not a valid Asura. So there's where Rish Lakish gets his opinion that Asura Safek is not a valid Asura. Alright. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan Nami, Halvade Lavshein Memaisehu. Fine, let's go back to Rabbi Yochanan then. In Rabbi Yochanan's Diuk from the Braisa of Noiser, he's saying that only because the Pasuk is making an Alava Nitek La'Esther is he Potter from Malkus, implying otherwise he would have been Chayev, showing because not a problem of Asura Safek, because according to him Asura Safek is Chayev, but the fact is, also in that Braisa, we have another reason to say that he's Potter, Halvade Lav Shein Memaisehu. The fact is that leaving over meat from a korban is a Lav Shein Memaisehu. It's a passive thing that causes the meat to be left over. So according to him, why does the Pasuk need to mention the Esther? If anyway, he'd be Potter. If he left over, anyway, he's Potter because the Lav Shein Memaisa. Rashi also points out, by the way, that, what Rashi points out, we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, so why does the pasuk need to tell us that noisim imenu, that whatever's left, burn it in the morning? When anyway, and only because of that, is he potter? He's potter anyhow because lav shein memaisa. The answer is savalok ki hada amar Rabbi Idi ba'oven amar Rabbi Amram amar Rabbi Yitzchak amar Rabbi Yochanan, because he holds like the following statement that in turn actually we can trace back to Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Yehuda, the same Rabbi Yehuda we're talking about, that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are learning their respective opinions from, he says in the name of Rabbi Yisaglili, Kol loiseseh shabatoda lav shiesh v'maisa loikin olav, any loiseseh in the Torah, whenever there's a maisa, whenever there's an action involved, then there can be maisa, then there can be malchus, lav she'en v'maisa ein loikin olav, but if there's not a maisa, then he does not get Malkus, with three exceptions. Min hanishba, the first exception is where a person swears in Hashem's name and then is over on the shore. The second one is when a person makes a tmura, when he says that this should be a tmura instead, should be this animal should substitute for that one as a korban. Or where he curses another person using Hashem's name. So in those cases, then it's, even though it's a lav shein memaisa, he's getting malchus. So Rashi points out that before we talked about the case where Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were arguing about where he made a shavua not to eat some bread. And we said Rabbi Yochanan had said that he's potter because lav shein memaisa. So whatever here we're saying that nishba is one of the categories that does get malchus for that. So Rashi explains, because before we were talking about that he was nishva where there's no maisa. So now not that he made a shavua, not that the shavua is I will eat this bread, but rather that it were, or when do we say that nishva is chayv malchus, rather is not where he said I will eat this bread and didn't eat it, but rather where he says I did eat this bread and it turns out that he didn't. So we'll learn in Masechta Shavuos in a few weeks. Bez Hashem, we'll learn why he would be Chayv Malkus for that. And all these three, the Gemara discusses in Masechta Tmura why Bibun's Psukim that by those three he does get Malkus. In any case, the point is, so we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that generally a person does not get Malkus for lav she'en memaisa, but there are some exceptions, and therefore that yes, you can have that a person should that a person could get malchus for lav she'en memaisa. So that is why the pasuk needed to tell us that by the korban pesach don't leave any over from it. But if you did, then burn it in order to tell us that the leaving from the korban pesach or from any korban is not in that category, and it would be a lav she'en memaisa, and he doesn't get malchus. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan can well learn from that, that it's not a matter of lav she'en memaisa, because if it was that, then we could have put it in the same category as these, but rather, the reason is because the fact is, he would have gotten malchus, because even though it's asura suffik, because asura suffik is a valid asura, and the only reason he's potter is because the lava nitik, and we wouldn't potter him, because we wouldn't necessarily potter him, because lav she'en memaisa either, because we see there are cases where lav she'en memaisa gets malchus, but rather because the lava nitik lesa. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is justified in learning from the Braisa before that Asra Suffolk would be a valid Asra. They can give him Asra at any time during the evening and tell him, don't leave over from that Korban, and if you do, you're going to be Chayiv Malchus in the event. He doesn't end up being Chayiv Malchus only because, not because it's Asra Suffolk, but only because it's a Lava Nitik Laseh. But other than that, he would have gotten Malchus. So the Gemara says, Kashya did Rabbi Huda, did Rabbi Huda. Now that we went through that, then, we find, according to both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, there seems to be a contradiction between Rabbi Huda's statements, because the first Braisa is, the first Braisa about, about the Braisa about Noiser is saying that he would have gotten Malchus if it weren't for Lav Hanitiklas. So both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are learning their respective things from that about Hasra Suffet and about Lav Shein Memaisa, but then the Braisa about hitting one or the other of the people who's his father is going to contradict that. So the answer is like this. Even Rav Shimon Lakish, Trei Tanoi, Alibad Rav Yehuda. According to Rish Lakish, the answer is going to be that there are two Tanoim who disagree what Rav Yehuda says. The one from the Braisa of Noiser holds the Tana who taught the Braisa of Noiser holds that Rabbi Yehuda would say Hasra Suffolk is a valid Hasra, but then Rish Lakish says that no, since you have the second Braisa that implies that it's not, because the Rabbi Yehuda had said in the second Braisa that if he hit the Bazaar Hazer, which is a case of Hasra Suffolk, then he'd be Potter. So Rish Lakish takes that as representing the view of Rabbi Yehuda, and the other one represents a different understanding of a Tana in the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rish Lakish would reconcile the two braises that way, that each of them is quoting Rabbi Yehuda, but they're each understanding him differently. Even Rabbi Yochanan, like Kasha, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, there'd be a problem, because one represents Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, and the second braise, the one about the lav she'en memaisa, the one that we said, Rabbi Yehuda had said, that in general, lav she'en memaisa, there's no malchus with three exceptions, that would be hodirabe. After all, we said that's Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Aglili, so Rabbi Yehuda himself doesn't have to hold that way. So Rabbi Yochanan would reconcile the brightest that way and say Rabbi Yehuda himself holds lav she'en memaisa, a person would get malchus, and therefore he would have gotten malchus. So therefore, when it comes to leaving over Noiser, he would have gotten malchus. It's a lav she'en memaisa, doesn't matter. It's a sra suffik, doesn't matter. The only reason to bother him is because lav nitik lesa. And as far as the other rule, fine, that's Rabbi Yehuda really holds that, and Rabbi Yehuda quotes him, but not necessarily that he himself holds that way. The Orach HaNer brings over here actually a different girsa from the Ritva that says the other way around. Rabbi Yochanan would say that there's two Tanoim who disagree about what Rabbi Yehuda says, and Rish Lakish is saying that one is according to Rabbi Yehuda and the other is according to his Rebbe. So according to the Ritva, we flip around the Girsa and we say that according to Rish Lakish, we're saying that And we're saying that by noser, we see a person would, on the face of it, a person gets malchus for lav she'en me maisa. But what about if we had Rabbi Yehuda's rule in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Levi that you wouldn't? And the answer is that, according to the Shlokish, we would be saying that, Rabbi Yehuda himself holds you would get malchus for that, and only in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Levi does he say that, is he saying that you don't? And according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be that there are two Tanoim disagreeing within what Rabbi Yehuda says, what Rabbi Yehuda holds on the subject. In any case, so that leaves us with what we said, that we have Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish have support among Tanoim for their respective positions about Hasuras Safek. Whether Hasuras Safek is valid when you have a case like that, where there's a Safek, whether he's actually going to be over on the Isser, is that a valid, or whether what he's going to do is going to constitute an infringement of that Isser, whether it's considered Hasura or not. So each of them has a statement of Rabbi Yehuda to support what he says. Okay. So now, let's go back and talk further about that matter of bitloy v'loy bitloy and kimoy v'loy kimoy, where we said before, according to our girsa, it's Rabbi Yochanan who holds, and according to the Rif's girsa, it's Rish Lakish that holds that bitloy v'loy bitloy is when he would be chayav malchus again, where you have a lav where there is an esser that could undo the lav, but when would he be chayav malchus? Only if he actually does something to prevent that esser from taking place. So now the Gemara is going to analyze that by looking at some mitzvahs and seeing where we have, and then seeing what the possibilities are as far as kimoy v'loy kimoy and bitloy v'loy bitloy by them respectively. Tnanhos, and we learn in a Mishnah. It's actually going to be the next Mishnah in our Perek. It's also a Mishnah in the Sefer Cholin in the last Perek, where it talks about the dinim of Shiluach HaKan. The Mishnah says, Hanotel Emel Abonim, a person takes the mother bird together with her chicks, where there he's over on the lav, because the pasuk says, Lois Sikach Emel Abonim. Rabbi Yehuda Emel Loika Ve'enem HaShalayach. Rabbi Yehuda says that he gets Malchus, and at that point he doesn't have to send away the mother bird anymore. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda holds that when the pasuk says shalayach to shalach hasa'in, means to begin with you have to send away the mother bird. Not that if you took her, then you should undo it by sending away. So in other words, Rashi says Rabbi Yehuda would categorize that as a lav shen kodmai eser. Again, Rashi following his shita that says that the definition of lav shen kodmai eser that we learned before is not that it says it before in the pasuk, but rather that it's capable of being fulfilled independent of the lav. Where here, a person is able to send away the mother bird without ever having been over on taking the mother bird with the chicks. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, therefore, that's a lav shen kodmai eser, and therefore that he's getting malchus. The Chum says no. He sends away the mother bird and doesn't get malchus because according to them it's a lav. According to them it's a lav amnitak la'aseh. And therefore the Torah is telling, don't take the mother bird with the babies. But if you do, then undo your avera by sending away the mother bird. And therefore it's a lav amnitak la'aseh. Therefore no malchus. And the Chacham continues, Zach Klal, the rule is, Kol mitzvah saloysa seh sheyesh b'kum aseh, whenever there's a loysa seh, where there's also a mitzvah, get up and do such and such, ein chayav an aleha, then there's no chiyuv malchus for it. So now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, since we hold bitloy v'loy bitloy, that as we said before, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that at least according to our Gersa of Rabbi Yochanan, the only case where he's getting malchus for being over on such a lav is only if he's mevatel the mitzvah's eser, not just that he fails passively to do the mitzvah's eser, but that he actually does something to prevent the mitzvah's eser from happening. So according to that opinion, if he were to take the mother bird with the chicks, in many cases, we wouldn't be able to give him malchus. Because again, we say asura safek is a valid asura, but on the other hand, he would say, listen, bitloy v'loy bitloy, you can only give me malchus only if I'm mevatel at the adayim. As long as I haven't, I have the option to send away that mother bird, and therefore you can't give me malchus yet. So how could you give him malchus would only be if he's mevatel? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein mono elo zois v'oid acheres. We only can find two cases where it's possible to be mevatel the mitzvahs esed, be a dayim, and therefore to and therefore to be chayav malchus, and no other cases. So now we have to figure out what those two cases are. Now what do we mean by that? So the Gemara is going to talk about what the case is, where it involves the onus divorcing his wife, as we're going to go on to say. Now you do have that we talked about the Kohen who divorces his wife. There he's getting malchus, as we learned yesterday. It's not a matter of bitloy vele bitloy. Once he did the loisas, there's no way for him to undo it. So it's not even a matter of bitloy vele bitloy. It's just an essay. It's just a lav where there's no corresponding essay in the first place. So what does Rabbi Yechonin mean? Zois v'oidacheres. There's that one of Shiluach Hakan plus one other one. Omalei Rabbi Lozer Hecha. So Rabbi Lozer asks Rabbi Yechonin, where is that other one? Omalei. So Rabbi Yechonin, instead of telling him outright, tells him l'chi tishkach when you go and find it. In other words, I'm leaving it up to you to go and find it. We find many times where Chachamim would do that. They're not spoon-feeding the answer to their Talmud. They would tell him to go and research it himself. In this case, actually, the Noda Behorda points out that since the Gemara is going to go on, as we're going to go through the discussion over here, and say that there might be two possibilities, then therefore Rabbi Yechonin didn't want to definitively say one or the other, which one of those two possibilities is the second one to which Rabbi Yechonin is referring. So Rabbi Lozer went out, Doc, he checked into it, the Ashkach, and he started looking through Mishnayos and Braises, and eventually he found such a case. D'tanya, we learn in a Braise, the Notak, by the way, means a lot of times a Chacham wouldn't be, if he has to go searching around for Braises, he has to go searching around for Chachamim who are able to tell him a relevant Braise, he's not necessarily always going to find them in the Beis Medrash, so therefore he has to go out and search and put in some effort into it. In the Haggadah, we have the expression, Seil Lamad, in a similar vein. Not always are you going to find all the answers among the Chachamim in your Beis Medrash, you may have to go and look for ones elsewhere. Anyway, so he found as follows. D'tanya, Oynes Shegerash, if we talked about yesterday the case of the Oynes who has to marry the woman that he was Ma'anis, so now if he divorces that wife, so Im Yisrael, who said we learned yesterday, if he's Yisrael, Machzir Ve'en Eloika, then fine, he remarries her and he doesn't get Malchus. Because then he can be Mekayim Ne'eser, and therefore he's not getting Malchus for violating the Lois Eser. V'im Koyen, who wears if it's a Koyen, and he can't marry her after divorcing her, Loika Ve'enim Machzer, then he gets Malchus and he doesn't bring her back, he doesn't remarry her. So now, when it comes to Yisrael, then Rabbi Lozer is saying that Rabbi Yechonin, according to Rabbi Yechonin's understanding of bitloy v'loy bitloy, that only if he's mevatel the eser b'yadayim is he getting malchus, then therefore by Yisrael there would be a case where he could be mevatel the eser, where even Yisrael therefore would be chayv malchus. As we talked about yesterday in connection with the Koyen, Tosfos had given a couple of reasons why we wouldn't say Esther Dirk Alois Esther, and the Koyen should we marry her? In the event, in any case, we don't say that, and we just say he can't be Mekayim the Esther, and therefore he's getting Malchus. Because for him there's no Esther to remarry her. But for Yisrael there is an Esther, but Rabbi Lozer is saying that I can find a case of Bitloy when it comes to this case of Yisrael divorcing the woman that he was Ma'anis. Well, so the Gemara says, Hanicha l'mandatoni. Why? How does that work? According to Bitloy v'le Bitloy. Hanicha l'mandatoni kimoi v'le kimoi. Well, according to the Shlokish's opinion, that the Braisa that we've quoted on Tesvavam and Beis was kimoi versus loy kimoi, then fine. He could be getting Malchus, because again, he's going to divorce her. Beis Din is going to tell him, remarry her, and if not, you chayev malchus. And if he doesn't remarry her on the spot, then he can be chayev malchus because loy kimoi, because he failed to do the mitzvah saseh. So according to that, we can easily see how that would apply to this case of the onus who divorced her. But according to Rabbi Yechonin, not the key thing is whether bitloy or loy bitloy, then how is he able to be mevatel that esed b'yadayim and be getting malchus? By Shiluach HaKan, it's easy enough to see. Let's say, for example, he could kill the mother bird after taking her, or he could clip its wings or something. Ela onus bitla vile bitla. How are you going to find it by an onus? Ida kotla. Are we talking about that he actually killed the woman? Now, it can't be that she just died on her own, Tosfos points out, because then that wouldn't be bitla. Then he wasn't mevatel, the mitzvah saseh. So we'd have to be talking about, to be mevatel, it would have to be, for example, that he killed her. Well, in that case, kom lebe d'rabimine. Well, in that case, then anyway, he's subject to a greater punishment because he's going to be chayav misa for that. So how can you call that a case of, so yes, there can be bitloy in that case, but in that case, we wouldn't say that he's getting malchus either. Tosfos points out that what about if he kills a b'shogeg? You wouldn't have kom lebe d'rabimine, because then he's not chayav misa. Hagos Abach points out in that connection that would have to mean that according to that opinion we would say that if a person did something that b'mezid would make him chayiv misa, but in this case he was b'shogeg, then he would be chayiv malchus. But why can't we say that? Anyway, so Tosfos says because then that in effect that would be the equivalent of he died on her own, because if he killed her below miskaven unintentionally, then we wouldn't call it bitloy. Bitloy would only be if he did something intentionally to cause the essa to not be fulfilled, like with the mother bird where he intentionally kills it or breaks its wings or what have you. Gillian Ashash points out, I mean, why can't you say then you could be talking about, let's say that you could be talking about, let's say it was b'mezid, but they didn't give him asra. Various achronim talk about various possibilities with that. Why we wouldn't say that's a case where in fact we could call it bitloy and he would be chayiv malchus, even though it's true that he's not chayiv misa in that case. So there are a couple of explanations about it actually, the Akiva Eger also points out another point as well. He says that he says another point as well. How about, he says, there could be a case where she was a treifa. We know, as we've learned before, that if a person kills a treifa, then he's not chayiv misa. But nevertheless, there's still bitloy, because he still prevented himself from being able to remarry her. So you have a couple of different points that various achronim make about to answer what Rabbi Akiva Eger says on that subject. So maybe one point would actually be that kom lebe d'rabimineh would still apply, because you still have, if he's trying to kill her, then we learned in Sanhedrin all about the dinim of the roidif, where a person is chasing after somebody else with intent to kill, and we could still say that nitim la'tzila b'nashrei, you can prevent him from doing the avera and save her life by killing him, and therefore it can still be considered kom lebe d'rabimineh. The Aderes brings this point. And then there are other points as well that Achronim make to find for these two points of Gilui Nashas's. In any case, so getting back to the Gemara then. So how do you have a case of bitloy when it comes to the case of the onus who divorced his wife, where we would say that Rabbi Lazar is saying that there's a case where he could be chayiv malchus? So the answer is Amar Shimi Mechazna. Shimi from Chazna answers that Kigoyin Shekibala Kedushin Ma'acher. Here's an answer. Let's say the Oynes received on her behalf Kedushin from somebody else. So he divorced her. Now until she receives Kedushin from somebody else, he could remarry her. But now if she received Kedushin from somebody else, then he can't anymore, as the Torah tells us that once the ex-wife remarries, then he's not allowed to, then he's never allowed to remarry her. So now in order for it to be bitloy, it would have to be that he personally was involved and that he received the Kedushin on her behalf. So therefore, say he was mevatel via dayim and prevented himself from being able to remarry her. Therefore, that would be the case that Rabbi Lazar is saying that he's chayiv malchus. But the Gemara says, Omer Rav, Rav says, that doesn't seem to work. Isha vite shliach. How does that work? He can't just unilaterally be makabel kedushin on her behalf. If she appointed him a shliach for that purpose, he come mevatel, then she's the one who's mevatel the mitzvah saseh, rather than he. The Eloi shavite shliach, if she didn't make him a shliach, kol kamine, does he have the ability to receive her kedushin? V'loi plumhi. It's nothing. It's worthless because he can't receive kedushin unilaterally on her behalf. So you're still back to the question, then how would you have Bitloy by the case where he divorced her and hasn't remarried her? Bechal, you have a question. Another point that Achronim make is that you actually have a case of ein shliach l'dvar avera. Since it's an avera to divorce her and to not remarry her, then even if she appointed him a shliach, then it shouldn't work. So one answer is that the iser. So an answer is that the issue to divorce her is where it's not with her consent. Here, where she appoints him a shliach, then maybe that issue of divorcing her doesn't apply in the first place. So an answer basically is that when do we say ein shliach l'dvar avera, something that the mishaleach is not allowed to do, and then they're sending somebody else to do it who's also not allowed to do it. In this case, there's no issur on her to not get divorced, because the divorce is not in her hands anyway, it's only on him, so we can't really say ein shliach l'dvar avera. But nevertheless, we would still say that being mevatel, the esser, is happening through her, not him. So the Gemara says, fine, that doesn't work. Ela Omer of Shimi Min Arda. So rather, if Shimi Min Arda gives a different answer, you could say a case where he made a neder in public that she shouldn't have hana from him. So she can't have hana from him. Therefore, that he's not going to be allowed to remarry her, and therefore you have bitly. So the Gemara says, "Hanichal amanda omen neder shehuda berabim ein lehafara." Fine, that works according to the opinion that if a person, or Gemara and Gittin, that says that if a person made a neder berabim, there's different opinions over there whether rabim means 3 or 10, then he can't be mefer, he can't be matir neder. Elo amanda omen yesh lehafara ma'ikel meimer. What about according to the opinion that you could be matir such a neder? So what's the problem? He made such a neder, he still has the option of going and being matir neder, and then he'll be able to remarry her. And then he won't be Chayiv Malkus. So you still don't have a case of Bitloy in this case, such that he should be getting Malkus. So the answer is no. D'madira lo al das rabim. It's not that he puts the neder bar rabim, but al das rabim, on the understanding of the rabim, meaning based in the determination that he should do that. Rashi explains we're talking about a case shemotza ba oven where he found that she did some kind of avera that makes it that therefore he ought to be. That therefore he ought to be making such a neder. We just learned in Ein Yaakov yesterday. We had the end of Gittin about Motzah Ba'eras Dover. So here we'd be talking about where something like that, where she's acting improperly, and therefore based in agrees that he should make such a neder. That's a point to Rashi. The idea is, because otherwise, why would Basin consent to such a thing? Tosfos actually disagrees and says that no, in that case, then of course she is in fact also to him, and in that case the tackle would not be a mitzvah for him to stay married to her or to remarry her. So Tosfos says that no, what you could have is that he could make a neder. It's possible, like this, in other words, the point is, he's meshubah to her. So he's not able to just make a neder and say, for example, that you're also to have hana from me. What do you mean, you're also to have hana from me? The Torah says that I'm supposed to provide you hana in the form of clothing and food and tashmish and so forth. So rather, Tosfos says that he could say the other way around. He could say the hana of tashmish with you is also to me. Now then, such a neder is able to be chal, because then in effect he's not. It comes out as a result of that they're not going to be able to have relations, and therefore they're going to have to be divorced. But the neder itself is formulated in such a way that he's saying this is also to me, and therefore we can't make him be over and have hana from something which he's declared also to himself. And now, since he made this neder, al das rabim, then he can't be made for it. He can't be matir neder. So therefore, that would be a case of bitloy where he would be chayiv malchus. Da'amar Amemer, as in fact Amemer says, Hilchsa, the halacha is neder shahud of a rabbin, yeshle hafara. Person makes a neder in front of a rabbin, he can still be matir neder. Al das rabbin, but if he makes a neder, al das rabbin, ein lo hafara, then there's no canceling such a neder. So there you go. You have a case of bitloy, by the case of an oynas who divorces his wife, where if he then makes such a neder, al das rabim, that the result of that neder is that he can't remarry her, whether as Rashi says, just he made a neder that she shouldn't have hanah from him, or whether as Tosfos says that he made a neder that hanah of tashmish with her is going to be also to him, then in that case there is bitloy, and even according to Rav Yochanan, that bitloy is when he gets malchus, then good, he's getting malchus because he was mevatel the esse. Before we talked about according to Rashi that the hasra would have to take place when he's over on the lav, but then you have to wait and see what happens whether bitloy before we give him the malchus. Whereas the ritva had learned that you give him the asra when he's mevatel. So in this case, you'd have the question: do you give him the asra when he first divorces her, or do you give him the asra now when he's making the neder? So that would be such a case. Okay. So now, before we said, Rabbi Yochanan had said, there are only two such cases of bitloy where he would be chayiv malchus. So now we have, based on Rabbi Elazar's research, we know the answer is Shiloh HaKan is one, and the other one is the onus to divorce his wife. So the Gemara asked for two lekha. You're telling me there are no others? I can find you other examples of bitloy where he should be chayiv malchus. And you have as follows, and the Gemara gives a simon gezel mashkin upeya. These are going to be three cases that the Gemara is going to bring up where a person might be, where there could be bitloy, and a person would be chayiv malchus. The Gemara has those words gezel mashkin upeya with two ticks in each one, which usually represents an abbreviation. But here it's not so much an abbreviation as more to highlight the words. The same thing as, for example, all the French translations in Rashi, all the Lazim in Rashi, always have two ticks. Doesn't make them abbreviations. It just means it's to highlight them, like we would do italics nowadays or something. Anyway, so let's go through the cases. The first one is gezel. Derachmana amal lo sigzo. The Torah tells us don't steal. Veheshev esagzela. And then the Torah tells us that if a person does steal, that he should return the theft. And similarly, mashkin. Similarly, you have the case of a mashkin. Derachmana amal lo sovei al beisei lava tavoitei. The Torah says that don't go into the person's house and take a mashkin from him, and then you have to wait outside, and he has to bring it to you. And then you have, on the other hand, you have the mitzvah, hoshev, toshev, loy ha'avoy, kevoy ha'shemesh, returning the mashkin every evening, when he needs it. So that would be, there could be two cases within that. One where you took the mashkin illegally in the first place and you have to return it to him, and the other where you took it legally, but still he's poor and he needs it every night to sleep with, or he needs it every day to wear or whatever, and you have to return it to him every night or every day, as we learned back in Bava Metzia. In fact, Tosfos points out that isn't that lav shekod mei esther, because before he's ever over on taking the mashkin, then already he has the mitzvah to return it every night. In the sense, in other words, that he could be taking the mashkin legally, not going into the other guy's house, and then be mekayim the mitzvah of returning it every night or every day and never being over on the lav. So Tosfos says that, in fact, the Gemara tells us that, in fact, the Hoshev Toshev is, in fact, talking about both cases, one where he took it illegally and the other one where he took it legally. So therefore, so yes, you do have the case where in order to be Mekayim the Esser, at least one form of the Esser, it has to be first that he took it illegally by going into the guy's house and taking it against his will. Anyway. So, Umashkachas on the Kimoi v'lai Kimoi, v'lai Bitloi. Now, on the face of it, with those cases of gzela and of mashkin, you can have kimoi v'loy kimoi, because you can have he fails to return it in the proper time, or he fails to return the gzela, or you can have bitloy v'loy bitloy. It's possible to mevatel it by burning the object that he stole, or by burning the mashkin, or otherwise destroying it. So why shouldn't he get malchus for that as well? The answer is hosem, because the difference is over there, kiven dechayev et hashlumin, because since he's chayev to pay, in Loto Mashalim. Then he doesn't pay money and be chayav malchus. So therefore, you can't say bitloy, because as long as he has money, then he's not going to get malchus. Tosfos actually has a different gears over here, not in Loiko Mashalim. Tosfos' gears says Hosam Isab Tashlumin, that there's a matter of Tashlumin, that there's payments involved. In other words, what he does to not be Chayav Malkus is to pay for the object rather than giving back the object itself. So there's discussion further in the Rishonim about what all this means. Tosfos themselves has a bit of discussion of this matter of when do we say Ein Loiko Mashalim. We generally say Ein Loiko Mashalim, but would that necessarily apply in this case? So the Ritva actually points out the moment he stole something, then he has the obligation of Tashlumin, he has the obligation to pay it back. So that it doesn't first kick in when he destroys it. The difference is that beforehand he was supposed to return the thing itself, and now instead he has to return the value of it. So therefore, it would be in Loiko Mashalim that he can't get two punishments for the same thing, both Malkus and paying. So Tosfos discusses that point and says that no, Rabbi Yochanan himself says elsewhere that in a case like that, then we would give him Malkus rather than making him pay. So therefore, Tosfos prefers the Gersa Issa B'Tashlumin, meaning, in other words, that to begin, no matter what, if we have the Gersa Ein Loiko Mashalim, then Tosfos' question is that in that case, then sometimes you do have instead, when there's Malkus versus Tashlumin, then we would give him Malkus and he would not pay, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan himself. But if instead we say Issa B'Tashlumin, means to begin with, there's always a Chiyuv of Tashlumin, and therefore the Chiyuv of Malkus never kicks in. In this connection, when it comes taka to the case of a mashkan, the Rambam actually holds that if the mashkan were to be lost or burnt or whatever before he has a chance to return it, then in fact he would get malchus, because then there's no possibility of doing the esser. The Ravid in fact disagrees, because he says, look, our Gemara clearly says that isav tashlumin, that instead you give tashlumin, and therefore there's no malchus. So there's this discussion about that. The Rama also discusses in this point over here, again with this question of when does the chiyuv of tashlumin kick in, and basically the Rama would say, in other words, that it's not a matter of lava nitik lasa, it's rather a matter of shtei rishoyis. You can't punish him with malchus and with payment, and therefore instead he pays and doesn't get malchus. And the Rambam passes like the opinion kimoi v'lo kimoi, because according to him, he has the girsa like the Rif and many other Rishonim that it's kimoi v'lo kimoi, that any time he's failing to do the esser, then he's getting malchus. Well, therefore, so in that case, if he fails to do it, even though it got burnt by itself, then therefore he could be chayav malchus. Because as soon as he came in and took it illegally, then already at that point he's Chayav Malkus, and when does he become Chayav Mammon? Only when it got burned. So in any case, so that's the question then. So again, the question is that Bitloy Veloy Bitloy ought to apply, but the answer is that no. Instead of applying, instead we make him pay money. Master for Abzera, but Abzera says, still, I can find an example where it's impossible to return the Gzela, and on the face of it, he should get Malkus, and the fact is we don't. Ha'ika Mashkun is Ger. How about if the owner of the Mashkun was a Ger? And now if he destroys it while the Ger is alive, then now the Ger dies without any Yoshim, so there's nobody to repay it to. So in that case, then you have the din of Gezel Ager, that he gives the money to the Kohenim, but that's still not really the Heshavas Hegzela, so why shouldn't we say that he's Chayav Malchus in that case? And the answer is, Hosam Gavra Bar Tashlumenu, because in that case, when he burns it, he is chayav to pay. At that point, he hasn't been mevatel the esser yet. V'shibud de ger hu tekapaka. It's just that afterwards, the ger's shibud is lost, because then the ger passes away, and then at that point, you don't have anybody to return it to. But at the time that he burnt it, it was still possible to do tashlumin, and therefore you can't call that bitloy. Therefore you can't call that bitloy. So Tosfos, by the way, points out that this whole discussion over here is only according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had said Zois v'Oid Acheres, you only have two cases, and the Gemara is therefore trying to find why don't you have a third case. According to the Shlokish that holds Kimoi v'Oid Kimoi, you don't have that. You could have many cases where you have many cases where he could be Chayav Malkus. So in addition, there are various Achronim talk about various other possibilities that the Gemara is bringing over here three. So far we discussed Mashkan and Gezel, and now the Gemara is going to discuss Peah. So there are other cases that Achronim bring up that there might be other conceivable cases where we could have Kimoi v'loi Kimoi, or Bitloi v'loi Bitloi, and why isn't the Gemara bringing those up? So the Gemara goes on. Now, what about the case of Peah? The pasuk says, "Don't clear the edge of your field. Leave it for the poor people." And the pasuk says, "Leave it for the poor and for the ger." Now, it is possible to have where a person did harvest that part of his field, and there can be bitloy where he makes it impossible to do the essay anymore. Rashi points out, let's say, for example, he harvested the wheat, and then he actually ground it up into flour. So now, at that point, he's koine it b'shinui. Now, at that point, on the face of it, there's no mitzvah to give it to the poor people, because it was koneh b'shinui. So that would be a case of bitloy, and kimoi, of course, you could have, that he fails to give it to the aniyim when they warn him, you better give it to them. So why doesn't Rav Yochanan count that as another example where you could be getting malchus for such a case? The mashkachas from the kimoi v'le kimoi bitloy v'le bitloy, the tanan, as we learn in the Mishnah and Peah on the subject, the Tanya actually, it says on the side, because it's actually a Braisa. Anyway, mitzvahs peah lahachrish min akama. The proper way is to give peah while the grain or whatever produce it is still standing, so don't harvest it in the first place. Loi hifrish min akama mafrish min oimrin. If he didn't separate it while it was standing, if he harvested it, then he should give peah from the bundles of grain. Loi hifrish min oimrin mafrish min akri. And if he didn't do it when it was bundled into sheaves, then instead he should give it from the pile of grain after he's threshed and winnowed and whatever. Ad shalei meirach, all of that would be before he does meiruach, before gmar melacha, at which point it's not chayiv and trumas and meisers yet. Merchoy, but if he already did meiruach at that point, it's chayiv and meiser, ma'aser v'nois and lo, then he would have to take out meiser, and only then could he give the peah to the poor people. Because in this case, like this, if he had left it for the aniyim earlier when he was supposed to, they would have been potter from meiser. Matnas aniyim, a potter from meiser. He chose instead to go through this whole process and not give it to them, so now at this point he has to take meiser before he gives it to them so as not to deprive them. Anyway, the point is that the braisa stops there, implying that after that point, once he grinds it up, then it's too late to give peah. So there you have kimoi, veloi kimoi, or bitloi, veloi bitloi. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan count that? And the answer is Kedir Bishmal, because Rabbi Yechanan holds like Rabbi Shmuel, Drama Af Mafish Mina Issa, where Rabbi Shmuel says that he could even separate peah from the dough, or even from the bread afterwards. So therefore you don't have bitloy v'loy bitloy, because there's no way to be mevatalit, because in the end, even after he ground it and made it into flour, etc., he could still be Mekayim the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, why? Rabbi Shmuel, nami mashkachas on the ochol isa. Why? According to Rabbi Shmuel, you could say where he ate it. So now you have a case of bitloy. For that matter, you could have, the Ritzvah points out, you could have a case where he burnt the wheat instead of grinding it up. So you're right, the Gemara says, Ella, when Rabbi Yochanan said, Zois v'oid acheres, when he said this and something else, no, what he meant, so we assumed all this time that it meant that he's saying there's only two cases where it's possible to have bitloy v'loy bitloy, one being Shiloh HaKan, and the other we were trying to figure out. Now we're saying that no, on the contrary, what Rabbi Yochanan means is, there can be many other cases, means, aha, he is in fact referring to pay, or maybe not, maybe many other cases, but at least we could say fakir. He is in fact referring to this case of payah. Fine, he can't be referring to gezel and mashkon, because like we said before, those, there is tashlumin involved. But rather, And he says, Zois for Oida Cheres, Fakert. It means the Oida Cheres is the case we just set a payah. It is possible to have bitloy by eating it or burning it or whatever. But on the contrary, he means Aval Oines Loi. Rabbi Yochanan wants us to know that by the case of the Oines, where he divorces his wife, there is never a case of bitloy, where in fact he would be Chayev Malkus. Why? We said before, it can't be that he killed her because then come live with Rabbim, and we said before there could be the case where he makes a neder al-das Rabbim, and therefore he can't remarry her. No. The Heicham Rinnan, al-das Rabbim, ain't la'afara. When do we say that a neder al-das Rabbim, you can't be mefer, would be only l'dvar harishus. Only where that's going to prevent him from doing something which is optional. Aval l'dvar mitzvah, but when it comes to a matter of a mitzvah, and here it is a mitzvah for him to remarry her, then in fact we could be made for it. So therefore there's no bitloy if he makes such a neder. He makes the neder, al das rabim, but we tell him, no, we're gonna be mocked through that neder for you. You're gonna have to find a pesach, you're gonna have to find a harota, or we're gonna find you a pesach that we can be mocked through that neder, because otherwise you're not gonna be able to be makayin the mitzvah of, as we learned yesterday, v'loy siyal isha, kol yom, v'loy yuchal ashalcha kol yom, that kol yom of amoid v'hachsev, throughout your life, you have a mitzvah to remarry her. Where do we see that distinction? There was an example of a Malamed, he was being careless with the children. Rashi explains that he hit them too hard. In other places, Rashi says that even he was hitting them so hard that some of them were, that Rahman al-Fan, some of them were being killed. Adre, Rab Acha, so Rab Acha made him take a neder, but al-das rabim, that he's not going to ever teach again. However, Ravina said we can be mocked to that neder. We make sure that he promises he's never going to do that again, and we see that he changes his ways. But then we can rehire him as a rebbe and be mocked to the neder. Because they couldn't find any rebbe who was teaching the children as precisely as he was and making sure they're not making mistakes. So therefore, so we see that, and that's an example of Ludvar Mitzvah being mocked as such a neder, even though it was Aldas Rabin. So Rabbi Yochanan would say the same thing over here. If the Oinus divorces his wife, there is a mitzvah for him to remarry her. Therefore, even if he divorces her, and even if he makes a neder, al-das rabim, to not have hana from her, or that she shouldn't have hana from him, or that hana from her should be also to him, as the case may be, nevertheless, we can be mocked to that because it's a dvar mitzvah. New topic. We said in the Mishnah, we said in other cases in the Mishnah that we said back in the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the beginning of the Perek, where he's over on a lav and he's chayav malchus. So the Mishnah had listed where he eats nevelos or treifas or shkotzim or amasim. So let's focus on that matter of shkotzim or amasim, which is also Azman Grama. It's in this week's parasha at the end. By the way, there's an expression, the expression in the near the end of the parasha is that Hashem says, Ki ani Hashem amala eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, that I brought you up from the land of Mitzrayim, and Rashi brings, based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia, it means that Hashem is saying, it's a mila, that I made you greater by making it that you can't eat shkotzim or amasim. You have we Jewish people have a refined diet compared to everybody else, and we, and shkotzim or amasim that the others can eat are off limits to us because beneath our dignity to eat them. That hamala that Hashem gave us, that mila. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Haiman de ochel binisa de beit karba. If a person were to eat a worm, that's found in cabbage, malkinim lemishum sheretz hasheretz al oretz, then we would give him malchus because he's over on the issur in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat sheretz hasheretz al oretz, crawling things that crawl and that swarm on the ground. That's a coin to Rashi, and the point is, in other words, that the chiddush would be, in other words, that it's considered sheretz ha'aretz. What grounds it be chayav malchus, and different rishonim talk about the different things. The Gemara is going to point out soon that you have a number of different lavim in connection with bugs. Anyway, that's a point to Rashi. Tosfos wonders then what's the chiddush. Of course, it's a sheretz. So Tosfos says rather that what it means is binisa literally means a fish. So it means a little fish-like creature. And the Beit Tarba does not mean in the cabbage, which is the Hebrew word for cabbage, is kruv. So Tarba would be the Aramaic equivalent. Tosfos says no. The word Tarba in Aramaic also means plowing, like a plowed field. So in other words, you plow a field, and you dig up various kinds of worms, or various kinds of, in this case, a fish-like worm. Now, it has scales on it, so if you found it in the water, it would be perfectly mutter. It's a water creature that has scales, and as the Gemara tells us elsewhere, anything that has scales also automatically has fins. But here, you found it on land, so therefore it's also, and therefore a person would get malchus for eating it. So according to Tosfos, that's a chiddush. So the Gemara says, in fact, there was in fact an example of somebody who ate such a bug that was found in cabbage according to Rashi, or that was found in the plowed up earth according to Tosfos, the Nagdei Rabbi Yehuda, and sure enough, Rabbi Yehuda gave him malchus. So in this connection, the Gemara continues, Amar Abaya, Ocho Putisa, if a person were to eat a putisa, which Rashi translates as a water creature, some kind of water bug. So then, loikarba, he would get four times malchus, because there are two, Rashi explains that you have in our parasha, in parasha Shemini, and again in parasha Sura, it says to not eat sheretz amayim, things that grow in the water that don't have fins and scales. Then you also have, at the end of the parasha, don't make yourself disgusting with all the creepy, crawly creatures. Don't become tummy with them. So therefore, Rashi says, there you have your four lavim. So therefore, he's over on four lavim, and therefore he's getting four malchus. Nemola, if he ate an ant, continues Rava, loka chomish. We're talking about where he ate a whole ant, and it's a barrier, so he doesn't even need to eat a kazayas, unlike where the creatures were mashed up, as the Gemara is going to say soon, where then there needs to be a kazayas, a whole creature by itself would be, it's called a barrier, and he's chayav malchus for eating it by itself. So then when he does that, loka chomish, then he's getting five malchus, Rashi explains, because you have two lavim that apply generically to shrotzim, and then you have three more in our parasha that say about sheretz ha'aretz, about not eating bugs that are on the land. So the putisa is not a land creature, it's a water creature, therefore those don't apply. Instead you have the surim on sheretz ha'mayim. But here you have three times, it says in the Torah, not to eat bugs or worms or whatever, invertebrates on land, and therefore, so you have three of those for the ant, and then you have two generically not to eat shrotzim. Sira, and if he eats a hornet, which is a flying creature, like a sheikh, then he's getting six malchus. Rashi says the five from the ant plus one more, because the Torah says don't eat sheretz ha'oyv. So Rashi also points out when the pasuk says at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, loisa shaktsu v'snach yisechem v'behem over oif, don't make yourself disgusting with the animals and with the birds. That doesn't count. That's not one of them, because those are not referring to shrotzim. Those are referring to larger creatures. Rashi explains here and in a number of places on Chumash that the definition of sheretz is something that either has no legs or very short legs. So insects, worms, things like that, but not larger creatures. That's according to Rashi and according to almost all Rishonim, that the number of times that the lav is repeated in the Torah causes more malchus. The Rambam brings in the Shoshim, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and disagrees with that whole concept, and says that no, it can't be that because the Torah repeats a lav again and again, there should be more malchus. Rather, the Rambam explains, our Gemara, as saying, the putisa is in four different categories, and the ant is in five different categories, and the sheretz ha'oif is in six different categories, each of which there's a separate lav. There's a lav not to eat animal, then not to eat land bugs, and another one not to eat water bugs, and another one not to eat flying bugs, and so on and so forth, and he enumerates it. There's another one, don't eat ones that grow in fruit, etc. So he explains, our Gemara, in that vein, that the putisa is a creature that belongs in four of those categories, the ant belongs in five, the hornet, the tzitter, belongs in six, and therefore there's those numbers of malchus for each one. So the Gemara says, Mishum sheretz ha'oyv, because in the case of tzitter, it's also a flying creature, so there's your six lav. So in this connection, the Gemara brings, Omer Abachoy, Hamashas the Kovav, if somebody waits and doesn't go to the bathroom when he needs to, Oyvim Mishum lois shaktsu, then he's over on the issue that the Torah says, lois shaktsu, don't make yourself disgusting. Rishonim discuss whether the Gemara means to say that that's Daraisa or only Dirabanan. And similarly, the Gemara says, Amar Bibi Bar Abaya, Haiman, the Shossi, the Kauna de Umna, if a person were to drink out of the tube that a bloodletter uses, where it's a disgusting thing, people would never drink from such a thing, so then also, then he's also over on Lois Shaktsu, again, subject to the question of whether Daraisa or Darabanan, meaning in other words, you have an Isser in the Torah not to do something that most people would be disgusted by, such as eating or drinking out of such containers. Omar Rava, so further on this topic about the bugs, Omar Rava Barav Huna, Risik Tishinamalam, if a person mashes up 9 ants, the Hevi Echon Chaivi Shlingam Kazayas, and then, so now he mashed them up, so now they're not a berry anymore, so now we have to see whether we have a Kazayas. So we don't yet have a Kazayas, the Hevi Echon Chai, he brings one live ant, the Shlingam Kazayas, and now to altogether you have a Kazayas, Loika Sheish, then he's getting 6 Malkus. We said before, for an ant, a person is Chaiv only 5 Malkus. So now he says, Chomish Mishum Beria. 5 he's getting alone for the fact that he ate the one ant, which is a Beria. And we said before, there's 5 Malkus for it, according to Rashi, because of the repetition, according to Rashi and most Rishonim, because of the repetition of the Lavim, and according to the Rambam, because the ant is in 5 different categories. The Echon Mishum Kazayas Nevela, and another one, because he ate a Kazayas of, Nevela. Because if the ant was alive when he put it in his mouth, it's certainly dead by the time he swallows it, and therefore so now he's also over on that issue of nevela. So therefore it counts and it goes towards the kazayis of the nevela. Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that a larger creature might survive being swallowed, but an ant, a tiny creature like that, is not going to. Rava Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Rava says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, doesn't have to be 9 ants. Afilu Shnayim Behu, even if you have 2 ants that he's mashed together and one more makes it up to a Kazayas, he would also be Chayiv Malkus. And the Gemara is going to point out that Rabbi Yosef Omer Afilu Echad Behu. Rabbi Yosef says that it means even if there's only one mashed up ant and one live ant. But there's no actual machlokas. Hover Rav Rabbi Hover Zuti. It depends whether we're talking about large ants or small ants. So Tosfos wonders. I mean, so what's the chiddush? What do we care about how many were mashed up together? So Tosfos says one point is that since you're saying that here the live ant is large enough to help make up the kazayas, but if you mashed it up, it might not make up to a kazayas because now it would be smaller in size. So nevertheless, we still say that it counts. When it comes to 9 ants, you would say that there's a lot of them, so you're close to a kazayas anyhow. As opposed to with 2, it would mean on the face of it that you're only making it up to a kazayas only if the one is alive. And nevertheless, we say it does count. So Tosfos also says that, listen, maybe it's unlikely that one ant all by itself should be the full size of a kazayas, which is why the Gemara is mentioning one mashed up one and one live one, or according to Rava, 2 mashed up ones and one live one. The Ritva says, in fact, that may be what the Gemara wants to tell us, is in fact that there is such a thing as ants that are so large that 2 of them alone could make up a kazayas, where Rabbi Yosef is saying one mashed up one and one whole one, you could have such large ants that together they make up a kazayas, as opposed to Rava is saying, you're really not going to have that. In order to have a kazayas, you're going to need at minimum 2 ants, you're going to need at minimum 3 ants, 2 mashed up and 1 whole. Okay, in any case, the point is of the Gemara is that he's getting separate malchus for the one that was a beria and separate malchus for the fact that it helps make up a kazayas.